I'm Eileen Balinski, senior editor at Living on Earth, and with me now is Mark Seflender. Hi, Mark.
Hello, Eileen.
Mark, the Swallow Funnel sounds like a spectacular natural event.
It is. You know, the great naturalist Roger Torrey Peterson considered it to be one of the great natural events, and having seen it, I'm inclined to agree with him.
Does it happen in other locations outside of Connecticut?
Not that I know of. You know, the Connecticut River is a very particular kind of place. It's always been a route of migration, and by always I mean going back to the time of the dinosaurs. There are dinosaur tracks in the fossil shales in the Connecticut Valley, because more than 100 million years ago, they were going up and down the Connecticut as a migratory route. Now, the Connecticut is not glacial, contrary to what most people may think. It's actually the divide between ancient continents. On one side, you have Avalonia, which was part of Africa, and on the other side, what became North America. So it's really not that unusual that the tree swallows would also find a point of gathering for migration at this same place. They've probably been doing it for a long time.
Where'd you get the idea to compare the Swallow Funnel to a symphony?
Well, you'd think it would be, you know, musical, their calls and the way they sound. And they do vocalize. I mean, they vocalize, and their vocalizations get louder and louder as they gather in and before they go up. But it really had nothing to do with that. It was visual. When they come cascading down out of the funnel, they're moving at tremendous speed. And all I can think of when you see those black dots of birds roaring by at 30, 40 miles an hour, you know, in the dusk was 16th notes passing across a score, you know. And that kind of gave me the idea. And then the reeds themselves that they come crashing into were sort of like the lines on a key signature, you know. Mm. And it just came to me all at once. You know how a jet plane lands on a carrier deck?
Not really.
If they don't come in hot and they miss, they're either going to crash on the deck or end up in the water. So the deck is strung with cables, and they have a hook on the plane, and they drop the hook and catch those cables, and that's what brings them to a stop. And the tree swallows are doing the same thing. They're coming in at 30, 40 miles an hour, and they hit the Phragmites, and you can see the reeds bending over when they hit. They hit with fair impact, and that's what brings them to a stop. So the interesting thing about this is, you know, the frag are invaders. So here you have this native species and this incredible phenomenon, and I'm not alone in thinking this, that's totally dependent on an invasive weed. So, you know, once again, nature works in mysterious ways.
How long is this stop on the migration?
It goes on for weeks. And what the birds are doing is, you know, they're feeding, for one thing. They're fattening up because the coastal marshes are quite rich, and they have a ready source of food. And so when they go out in the morning to forage, there's something for them to forage. But also, I think they're basically toning themselves for the rigors of migration. They're rising up and up and up and building muscle strength. And they're also testing conditions. Obviously, they don't want to migrate into a headwind. And so when the conditions are right, one day, finally, they go. And with luck and a little judiciousness, they'll still have a place to come back to the next year.
Well, sounds like a sight to see.
Indeed.
Thanks very much, Mark.
Thank you, Eileen.